Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul is leading the Corinthians in the truth of the gospel, which had to a great extent been denied at Corinth in various ways, and the Church of Jesus Christ was greatly imperiled by threats from within and threats from without. And the situation of the congregation at Corinth was easily seen when you would come to them and you would see them as they celebrated the Lord's Supper and as they participated in what are called love feasts in connection with that. Well, all this was something that was not an honor to the Lord, and it had even imperiled the lives of many of them who were, because of their ungodliness, executed by the Lord himself in his swift and just judgment. So we want to consider that negatively, but also we want to be positive here with regard to the way forward of a Corinthian congregation and of any congregation that would know the blessing of God's fellowship in the way of faithful obedience and trusting in the Savior. So we want to consider 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18 to the end of the chapter, and we'll focus on one aspect of this chapter in this what is a continuation of a series on the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, 18. Let's go back to 17. Now, in giving these instructions, he's talking about different customs in the church. In giving these instructions, I do not praise you since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. But first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper, the head of others. And one is hungry and another's drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, that is, they're dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. For if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Well, we want to focus on a little moment this morning, anticipation also of our celebration of the supper together, is this last clause of verse 29, 1 Corinthians 11, 29, not discerning the Lord's body. And we want to put it positively here, not discerning the Lord's body leads to judgment, but discerning the body, the Lord's body, is blessing. And so we want to consider the blessing of discerning the Lord's body. But by way of introduction, I do want to say it could be summarized that all of the problems there ever were at Corinth could be summarized as body problems. Body problems. They're not discerning the Lord's body was just one of the problems. There were problems of living in this world, living in the body and practically showing their Christian faith. They were carnal. Even Paul says, you are yet carnal. He says this to the church, you're yet carnal or fleshly. You're living as those who are just bodies and not spirits and not those who have souls, not those who have a relationship with the things eternal and with God. That's a problem, of course, the main problem of our life in this world. We live as if this is the only world. We become worldly. Well, they also had a problem, of course, with the Lord's body because they were even entertaining the notion that he had not risen again in the body. And so 1 Corinthians 15 is a great rebuke to those who would deny the resurrection of the body. And as we see also in Corinth, the fruit of all of this, this personal bodily only existence, this materialism, and denying great truths of the body of our Lord itself led to schism in the body. They couldn't get along with one another. And this was seen especially as they came to the Lord's Supper and they were being divisive and schismatic and favoring themselves and not caring for the poor. And it was all a mess. It was so bad were these body problems at Corinth that the Lord Jesus, or God through Jesus, was judging the congregation at the times when they would come together and at other times, and even killing people. And that's the idea. Not discerning the Lord's body led for the Lord to cause there to be many to be weak and sick among you, so that many even sleep the sleep of death. Well, beloved congregation, we are not here to yield to body problems. We are here positively to discern the Lord's body. And if ever there's a time in the congregational life, in the ecclesiastical aspect of our life, to discern the Lord's body, it's when we partake of the supper. And as well, always we would discern the Lord's body, because there's great blessing in that peculiar thing of discerning the Lord's body. The people of God, in fact, show themselves to be God's people, with values that are given of God and with faith that leads them even through the valley of tears and of the shadow of death to discern the things of eternity, of resurrection, and of glory. So discerning the Lord's body, we want to consider the body that is that we discern, how we discern it, and then also the blessing. The Apostle Paul leads us here to discern the Lord's body, the body of the risen Lord Jesus. And he's mindful of the fact that we must discern and we must understand, that's what discerning means, we must understand and value the Lord's body in distinction from any other body. That's the idea of discerning. You're understanding something in comparison to something else, and you're judging between the two. And the idea here of discerning is you're discerning to appreciate the Lord's body more than any other body. So that's what we're dealing with here in discerning the Lord's body. So the Lord's body is the most important thing. Not your body, not your caring for your body, though that's important, not your six-pack, not her body that draws your attention, but the Lord's body is what you want to understand and value above every other body. Now, the Lord's body, I think we should understand in the first place, and discerning the Lord's body, is all about recognizing that we have a God and Savior who's come in the body. That's a very important aspect of our religion. We have a God who's above, who is also the God who's come down and taken on him a body. In fact, it's the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist, John says in 1 John 4, that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And so discerning the Lord's body is understanding that there's this God who's come in the flesh. That's the first thing. That's very important. This thing called Christmas, the truth of incarnation, is rock bottom truth in the Christian religion. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. So you discern the Lord's body, and you're discerning that he is this God who's taken on a body in the second person of his Son. And then you discern, of course, his crucifixion in that body, and that's everything that the supper symbolizes here. You discern that his body is given for you. It's broken in half, as it were. It's dead, this body, for you. He's crucified, and he bears the curse of God, children. That's what Jesus died for, that we might never bear the curse of God. In the body, he took on our sins. And in the body, he took on the wrath of God. And when he went to the cross, that was the sentence that he had to endure in order to offer the sacrifice for our salvation. You see, in Jesus, we discern his body broken, and we're discerning all kinds of things when we do that. We're discerning and understanding and appreciating that God had to be God. And that's why the way of the cross and the substitutionary atonement. Jesus couldn't just be an example. His body must be broken, symbolizing, even though not one of his bones was broken, but symbolizing death for you and me who deserve death as the sentence of God's judgment. God must be God, just and merciful. That's what you discern in discerning the Lord's body. What a merciful God! What a great God! Given for our salvation. Then you discern that he's risen. In discerning the Lord's body and our partaking of this presently, we're saying he's not here, but he's risen. He's here in the supper. We'll talk about that presently. But we're discerning resurrection, that about the body too. And that our participation in a sacrament is a celebration of the victory of the cross, the victory of the death of Jesus over death and over his own death, so that he's risen to the right hand of God. That's what we're discerning in discerning the Lord's body. Are you? Am I? And we're discerning, you see, the value of that. That's what discernment means. We judge among the bodies and all of the people who lay their lives down for their causes. And we're saying, ah, but Jesus. We're given a Jesus. We're given a Son of God in the flesh, in the body. And this is life. Don't you know? Don't you know? And we're discerning as well, and we discern the body, the church. I believe that's also what was being forgotten at Corinth, the church body. There was divisions. This body is broken. Jesus died. He's risen again. He pours out the Spirit. And we are joined to Jesus as now his body, the church, and you'd break it up by your whispering and by your talking and by your posturing and by your not sharing and by your whatever. Selfishness? That's not discerning the value of the body. Because Jesus, you see, didn't die just for an individual here and an individual there. an individual down the road. He did. All kinds of sinful people like you and me. But he died for a body. He died that the church might be one and show its fellowship and the oneness of the head of the body by its being a communion in the Holy Ghost and through the blood of Jesus. That's what we're here for. To show off the glories of what he makes and how he makes not just for our flesh and blood families to be his, though he saves out of our own, as many as he calls, but save all kinds, like represented here, all kinds of people, to be one, not a sameness, but a diversity, a communion, an organism, a living body. People weren't discerning that at Corinth. They weren't appreciating that. They weren't understanding that. They weren't valuing it. And then there's one other thing, of course, because Paul's talking about the Lord's Supper here. I believe he may be alluding to the fact that we should discern the Lord's body even here in the supper. Now, not in a literal way, as if Jesus were here physically. That's not true. Jesus is in heaven. And when Jesus celebrated the supper himself for the first time and instituted, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Well, he was standing right there. And so when he broke the bread, he was not referring to the fact that the bread is literally my body, nor does he now in the supper. But spiritually and really, the Reformers made an important point of this, and our confessions do. Jesus is present in the supper. By his word, by his spirit and his grace, he's in the supper in a sacramental way. And this is so very important for us to memorize or to remember. The supper is not a bare memorial. We discern the Lord's body here. We behold by faith what Jesus has done, and this is amazing. And it's not here, you see, an unbloody repetition of the sacrifice, but in Jesus here symbolically and sacramentally and with the seal of the sacrament, giving himself for us in the gospel. We are pointed back to the cross as the one sacrifice for our sins. So that's the body. And now we discern that. Discerning the body, not discerning the body, led to judgments in the congregation at Corinth. And it wasn't just at the supper. People weren't discerning the body. They weren't appreciating Christ and the church and the ordinances of Christ. All day, every day of the week, in whatever groups they were, in whatever practices they were practicing, whatever games they were playing, they were not discerning the Lord's body. There was a habit here of not discerning the Lord's body. They weren't understanding not only, but they weren't appreciating the things divine. The things on the ground, in the body, which is our religion. God over us, with us, in the body, and now manifest in the church body. And we're not discerning that. So we must discern that, shouldn't we? And that's so very important. And the first thing that, and I've got some things here just about discernment, just to leave you with. Discerning the body is simply believing in the Lord in light of the Word of God. Believing in the Lord in light of the Word of God. A lot of people nowadays say that discernment is too intellectual and it should be that our religion is kind of a mystical feeling and a personal feeling so that I can have an experience of a Savior, maybe Jesus. And you can, in our hearts, and somehow the mind isn't necessary to be engaged. Well, discernment is a mind thing as well as a heart thing. They go together. And therefore, it's a word thing. And so we understand Jesus, you see, in the Word of God that he's revealed. He is the Word of God, and now it's written. And that's why it was so important for the Reformers to stand on the truth of sola scriptura. The Bible alone is the foundation for understanding the body of the Lord and for appreciating the body of the Lord and the church. And it's believing that. You see, the problem with Corinth is they were walking around as if bodies earthly only mattered. And they got that way because they were walking by sight and not by faith. And we get that way. We don't appreciate the body of Christ in the church in the degree to which we walk by sight and not by faith. So we may read our Bibles, and we're reading, maybe we say, by faith, but we're walking, we're living by sight. That's a problem, isn't it? And it's from without. The world knows that sight is very important. That's why they advertise cars with ladies draped over the hood. And that's why it can be that ladies dress to kill. Why? Because men look. Men look. And that points to the fact that we have a problem with our hearts, of course. We walk by sight, and what titillates us and what excites us and what moves us and what gets us going in the morning is the prospect of, well, another sunny day or an increase in our pay or something we can see, something's tangible. And sadly, what gets so many of us going and moving and filling the time is just what we see on the television or in the movies and internet and so on. It's all this sight, isn't it? So believing in the Lord in the light of the Word is so very important. And so that we have this faith that's exercised even to discern good and evil. I'm thinking of a passage here that uses the same word discern in Hebrews in chapter 5 and verse 14. Solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So discernment comes with some maturity, doesn't it? And that's why we just don't let little ones, little babes or even toddlers, partake of the supper, because there's a maturity that's required to discern. In the very word, you make judgments between things, and this is clear to the congregation that people are doing this, and so we do this. There's a discernment, an exercising of the senses, and so there's an enlightenment of the mind. And then we have, you see, a proper perspective of bodies. That's what faith does in light of the word. It yields a proper perspective and appreciation of the relative worth of bodies. Let's face it, folks, we need to understand in this year. This world is nothing compared to the eternal kingdom. Is that how we're living? Resolved, this world is nothing compared to the eternal kingdom. May God teach us that in this year. Big way. That's discerning the value of the body of Christ and the life that he gives to us sinners. Well, I would suggest to you that we need a little more beating. I'll say that because that's a biblical word. 1 Corinthians 9:27. You know what Paul did? Paul, the apostle of grace and the champion of this truth of the preservation of the saints. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says, I beat my body into subjection lest by any means I might be found a castaway. Now, the apostle knew something there of the power of the flesh. Would that some of the Corinthians themselves were beating their own bodies. That's simply, by the way, a way of describing self-denial. But it's describing it with no words minced. We need flagellation, that is self-whipping, the self-mortification, killing off of the old man. Now, the Bible's radical there, isn't it? Why? Because the gospel's radical. Jesus Christ came for sinners. And the sinners in whom he works now are works in progress. And God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure in the way of our self-denial. Or, as the apostle says in another place, because of the mercies of God, Romans 12, therefore we present our bodies, a living sacrifice, thankful sacrifice and praise to God. Read that. Is that our response to the gospel? Is that our motivation this year? We know Jesus. We say we know Jesus. Now we live it. In our whole life, my whole life is an offering. My whole life is, thanks God, what would you have me to do? With my mouth, with my ears, with my time, the books I read, my amusing myself and yours, all this. Every member of the body comes to this place in life where you realize that if you're going to go on and advance and not be just a half Christian or an almost Christian, you got to be a crucified Christian. So that they who are Christ have crucified the flesh. And so you then join Jesus in existing in this earth just to do the will of the Father and not your own will. Well, this has to do, of course, this discerning then with a love for the church body, a love for the preaching of the gospel, a love to participate in the sacrament, a love for the elders who watch for the souls of the people of God and an encouragement of them because they're in the trenches on our behalf. And we ought to say thanks, Lord, for them and thanks to them for their godliness and for the deacon and all the ones who serve in the church and we ourselves among them. It's all discerning with great blessing. My final point. Without it, let's face it, there's death. Without discernment, let's say a congregation, one by one, family by family, it doesn't discern anymore. They don't want to. They're not interested. Let's say the elders see it, but they don't do anything about it. Let's say the pastor himself isn't really caring about preaching anymore because really he's lost his love for Christ. Isn't that amazing that that can happen? Let's say that the body of elders that oversees the church says, you know what? We got to increase the input here and we need more money in the collections, so we're just going to kind of let down our hair, dear, and let down our guard, and we're going to just open up the gospel to all sorts of folks, and we're not going to be so sharp and so on. And you know what happens? Death to a congregation. Death. That's what Corinth is all about. That's what liberalism leads to. My children pointed out to me that even the liberal churches nowadays are losing members. You know why? Because the liberals and the ones who join themselves to the liberal churches for the lattes and the programs and so on, they're realizing they can get what they want just down the road at another club. And that the church has no longer anything more distinct to offer and to preach. May God help us to be those who don't sell out the body of Christ this year, or we die. Instead, may we live. You know what happens when we discern the body? And when there is the Spirit working through the Word of God so that we discern the body, What happens is we see our sin in a new light as really sinful. We see the problem is not what's happening to me bodily, but the problem is my own flesh and denial of Christ, and the problem is my selfishness and my perversity and my pride. And then we see the need of the solution, and that's Jesus. All again and over again every week we need to hear, and let us hear today, Jesus Christ is the answer. And we've heard the call to worship. Oh, taste and see, sinner, that the Lord is good, and that the Lord cares, and that the Lord provides, and that the Lord is the Lord of life and of death, and He's over us, and He's our shepherd, and He cares, and He loves us, and He wants us to come to Him. And don't you hear that? And don't you find then that in Jesus is everything? And that's the body. That's the Son that we love. And His body we love and cherish above everything. So let us, discerning the body, tasting and seeing anew that Jesus is our all, carry on. And eat and drink, beloved of Christ, eat and drink. Unto life eternal, and the prosperity of His kingdom and of His church may we behold. Amen. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper at this time, and we want to read the form for that in the back of the Psalter hymnals. And we read the first part, the so-called preparatory part, and we're up to about page 144. Congregation and confessing members partake, of course. Those who've been visiting for a while, we're a small group here and we know one another. I want to say just this, that we long one day that you can participate with us too. And we want to see and taste and see how God will continue to lead us together. Also in this way, we can celebrate a oneness of faith and of growth and understanding for the praise of His name. And so we have this as our hope. And at this time, we want to consider on page 144 in the back of your Psalters, Psalter hymnals, the purpose for which the Lord has instituted His Supper. You see that there? Let us now also consider to what end the Lord has instituted His Supper. And it's this, namely, that we should do it in remembrance of Him. And so now, after this manner, are we to remember Him by it? First of all, let us be fully persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to the forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into this world, that He assumed our flesh and blood, and that He has borne for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth, and has fulfilled for us all obedience and righteousness of the divine law, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden, where He was bound that we might be loosed from our sins. And afterwards He suffered innumerable reproaches that we might never be confounded. That He was innocently condemned to death that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that He suffered His blessed body to be nailed to the cross, that He might fasten to it the bond written in ordinances that was against us. And so has taken the curse from us upon Himself, that He might fill us with His blessing. And has humbled Himself into the very deepest reproach and anguish of hell, in body and soul on the tree of the cross, when He cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? That we might be accepted of God, and nevermore be forsaken of Him. And finally has confirmed with His death and shedding of His blood the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace and of reconciliation, when He said, it is finished. And that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in His Last Supper took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you and for many unto remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you. And whereas otherwise you should have suffered eternal death, I give my body in death on the tree of the cross and shed my blood for you, and nourish and refresh your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as certainly as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, whereby he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true food and drink of life eternal. For by his death he's taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. We, by that Spirit who dwells in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, should have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his riches, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, by this same Spirit, we are also united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the Holy Apostle says, "Seeing that we who are many are one bread, one body, for we all partake of the one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries pressed together one wine flows and is mixed together, so shall we all who by true faith are incorporated in Christ be altogether one body through brotherly love for Christ our dear Savior's sake, who before has so exceedingly loved us and show this towards one another, not only in words but also in deeds. May the Almighty merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ help us in this through his Holy Spirit. Amen. We may attain all this, beloved. Let's humble ourselves before God with true faith, implore him for his grace. And at the end of the prayer, we'll pray aloud the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Merciful God and Father, we beseech you that in this supper, in which we cherish the blessed memory of the bitter death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that thou wilt so work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that we with true confidence might give ourselves up more and more unto your Son, Jesus Christ, in order that our burdened and contrite hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit may be nourished and refreshed with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, the only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and so truly be partakers of the new and everlasting testament, the covenant of grace. We do not doubt that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins to us and providing us with all things, body and soul, as thy dear children and heirs. Grant us, Lord, also your grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulation, with uplifted head, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his glorified body, and take us unto him in eternity. Hear us, O God and merciful Father, through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That then we may be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, let's not cling with our hearts to the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate, at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither also the articles of our Christian faith direct us, not doubting that we shall be nourished and refreshed in our souls with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as truly as we receive the holy bread and drink in remembrance of him. Bread which we break is a communion of the body of Christ. As the element is being distributed, I read from Philippians 3. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, yes indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed as lay hold of me. And then this, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of Jesus Christ was broken for a complete remission of all our sins. The cup of blessing which we bless is a communion of the blood of Christ. From 138 in the hymnal, familiar versification of Psalm 73. Let's sing just stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Take and drink ye all of it, and remember that the precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed for a complete remission of all your sins. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let us jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and let everyone say in his heart, Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Jehovah is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the wall, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? But God commendeth his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord, from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let's join in the prayer of thanksgiving. O merciful God and Father, we thank you with all our heart that of thy boundless mercy thou hast given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and sacrifice for our sins, and as our food and drink unto life eternal. We thank you that you have given us a true faith whereby we become partakers of these thy benefits. You have also, through thy dear Son Jesus Christ, instituted and ordain the Holy Supper for the strengthening of that faith. So we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that you, through the operation of your Holy Spirit, may truly bless us, and in the proclamation of his death may tend to the daily increase in true faith and blessed fellowship with Christ. Through him, my dear Son, we pray, Amen. You may rise now and receive the benediction of God. Afterwards, we'll sing the doxology 487 printed in your bulletins. Receive this word of blessing from Jehovah God by faith, and go in peace and in the communion of the Holy Ghost. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.